He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin.
This is Car Keys.
Good morning to this week's show of Car Keys with Jada Markin, Robin Leach, and sometimes Mike. I want to start this week's or this show that you listeners hear whenever they hear it, either at broadcast day or later on in the time, with a small verbal tutorial about flat tire issues and actually the art of changing a flat tire, which I have personally had on the morning that this show was done. To do, that is. I rescued a woman who called me and said the tire went flat in about a minute and could I come help her? And I said, I will come help you. Call AAA. She called AAA, got the word that sometime within an hour, AAA would show up where she was. Meanwhile, I got to the scene of the problem and found out that it was a Jeep Cherokee. And it happened to have a spare tire in it. Spare tires may or may not be in cars of listeners who are listening to this particular part of this show, because spare tires are a thing of the past as standard equipment in many vehicles, and have been so for several years, going as far back, from my own personal experience, as far as 2013. So if you do have a spare tire, there is a chance that if you have any knowledge of how to change one, that you could possibly do it yourself. But it can be a daunting task. Jay has told me in advance of this particular show that you have a tutorial available on your phone, which you could watch and help you through it. And as he noted to me, and I told him, too bad, it wasn't an excuse not to do it yourself, that probably there was a tutorial for every make of vehicle on the road to help you get through the task of changing a spare tire if you did it.
Also, native language.
However, no such tutorial was available or even sought by the person who had the flat tire problem. And that included me when I got there to look at it. But I found that the vehicle had a spare tire and it had a jack and tools to do it. So I decided to try and do it. And here's what I found is the major problem that people who might try to do this and have spare tires and the proper tools may find upon trying to change the tire. First of all, leverage with the tools. And you have to jack the car up, and finding the place to put a jack under a vehicle these days can be very difficult, especially if there's not a pictorial, which means a manual with the car, to show you where you have to put the jack stand under the car so that you will not bend or damage any part of the car underneath if you do not put it in the proper place. The second thing you have to do is jack the car up. But before you do that, you need to be sure that the car is in park and that your parking brake is on. And cars have different parking brakes than they used to. There used to be step-on pedals. Way back before many of you listeners were born, you used to have a pull-out handle under the dash, and now it's electronic and electric in many of the new cars, which means you pull up on a lever, often found between the console, and you have to be sure light goes on to be sure that the parking brake is activated on the rear tires, which is where the parking brakes are on, I think, 100% of the vehicles on the road today. Once that's done, the car is firmly planted on the road. And as it was the case with this particular location of this vehicle that I helped fix this morning, this show, whenever you hear it, it was on a slight incline, which meant the car was going uphill a little bit, and that proved to be making it very important that you had not only the vehicle in park, presuming it was an automatic car, which most of the cars on the road are, but also the parking brake was on and the car was not going to move once you jacked the end of the car where the flat tire was high enough off the ground so that you could get the tire off. That proved to be something that wasn't done on this particular car, because the car moved slightly as I jacked the car up. It happened to be a front end of the car, one corner of it that had the flat tire on it. The next thing that happened was that it takes a long time to jack a car up, I found, because as the car is lowered to the ground because the tire is flat, you have to be sure you can get the jack out of the of its place in storage, mostly. Sometimes it's under the rear seat, sometimes it's on top of the tire, and sometimes it's somewhere else. But the jack in this case with a Jeep Cherokee was in a full elevated position, which meant you had to screw it down so that it was flat-ish so you could get it under the car and then align it where the special place was on the frame of the car, not a frame, but wherever it was strong enough to do it, and then you have to jack it back up. That is not easy because the jack handle for jacking it up was not like a crank, which you could just sort of put in and then maybe crank the handle around, and it would not hit the ground on the low end of the crank, and you could just easily jack the car up. This was a situation where it was a levered tool, so that every time you hit the ground, you had to take it off the notch, and you had to put it back on, and it took 10 minutes to get the car high enough off the ground so that you could get to remove and replace the tire. The same handle that uses the crank on a jack often is the same handle that's going to undo the lug nuts, which are holding the tire to its shaft. That is another problem because the lug nuts are usually very tight, and if they have not been undone in a long time, can sometimes be frozen in place, making it very difficult, possibly, in getting any of the five lug nuts or six lug nuts, which is the standard number of lug nuts between most passenger car vehicles and trucks. And if you can't get the lug nuts off, you are stuck because you can't get the tire off, the flat tire off, and therefore you can't put on the spare tire. In the case of my experience on the day I did this, I had to put the handle on the lug nut on the tire in a horizontal position so I could basically stand on the handle and jump up and down on it, which is very hard to do because you could slip off or hurt yourself, to try to break the lug nut hold on the tire. Anyways, they all came loose for me. I was able to get the tire done, and then you've got to align the new tire properly, and you've got to align, put the tire bolts back in and tighten them, and you almost have to do the stand on the wrench trick again to tighten them up, because lug nuts can work their way loose if they are not properly tightened. Fortunately, I was able to do it. AAA was called. We intercepted the AAA truck 20 minutes before they were supposed to arrive and told them that we canceled the situation, that we canceled their need to show up. The other thing that we found out, however, about the spare in the Jeep was that the tire pressure in that spare was not at the suggested proper tire pressure once it was on. And you could see that more visibly because the tire had a little bulge in the lower part where it hits the ground, which showed us that the tire pressure was probably a bit lower than it would have to be if it was properly inflated. This can happen with spare tires that rest in the back of your vehicle, if you even have one, over time. And in this case, it was in the fourth year of sitting in its bed in the Jeep and not having ever been checked when other tire pressures were checked. That is most of the discussion that I will have on this, except that in this case, the biggest issue was, if you do have a spare tire, can you find all the parts, and then can you get the lug nuts off so you can get the tire off and put the new tire on? And the lug nut situation is something that worked fairly easily with my ability to stand on the jack handle, the wrench handle, and slowly get the lug nuts to release their grip on the wheel. Jay, you have some comment?
I do. Actually, I was just trying to remember the last times that I changed a tire on the car.
I'll bet my last time was over 40 years ago.
Well, I guess you've been pretty lucky. And to be fair, I think tires are better and get better all the time, and the chances of blowing a tire are a lot lesser now than they were 40 years ago. Having said that, the last tire I blew was on my Volkswagen Touareg, and in that case, the spare tire is a deflated tire, and the vehicle has a pump inside the car, and you have to inflate the tire before putting it on. And that takes a little while, but you know, it's an electric pump. You plug it into the cigarette lighter, whatever we call that outlet nowadays, and you just you pump the tire. And it was fairly easy to do, if I recall, except that these big new tires and new wheels are extremely heavy, and
correct,
if you have a bad back like myself, getting them out of the trunk can be a task in itself.
This tire happened to be a full size spare, and the only reason it was a full size spare and not what we call a donut, which are smaller spares, which are supposed to be drivable for 50 or so miles, and not a whole lot more. Although many people seem to drive them quite a lot more.
It's a bad idea.
Miles. was that this Jeep happened to have a trailer hitch on it. As a result, one of the standard equipment features is to equip these Jeep Cherokees with a full-size spare, although it wasn't on a alloy rim, but it was on a steel rim. But it was a full-size spare identical to the rest of the four tires on the Jeep, which was a nice feature to find.
Can I make another comment? And this is going to relate to safety about changing tires. I mean, in our neck of the woods, obviously, there's not a whole heck of a lot of traffic on the roads, and it's fairly easy to pull aside and change a tire. But during the time before this, I actually blew two tires in the last couple of years. But the time before the last one was on 684. And I was traveling at highway speed, and I blew a tire, and I mean, it didn't. It blew instantly, like
front or rear.
Luckily, it was a rear, and what it did is it actually shattered the rear bumper. And this was an Audi; it was a big, solid car. It blew a part of the bumper off, and it also blew the inside plastic protection inside the fender, through which the electric harness traveled.
Oh, really?
And it actually totally messed up the whole engine programming and put the car in limp mode. And I was lucky to get the car back. And this was just at the time of Dieselgate, so the owner turned the car in, and it never was a real issue. But that car was not going anywhere. That whole electric harness was totally, all the wires were cut. So it was a huge problem. Speaking of, blowing a tire, if you do blow a front tire, I mean, a rear tire is bad enough at highway speed, but a front tire, you want to make sure you don't step on the brakes, because if you step on the brakes and you've just blown a tire or you have a flat tire, that car is going to pull towards the side on which the tire blew. And so, recommendation is to come to a slow stop. And I'm sure every driver's heard that before, but I'm just repeating that. So if you blow a tire at highway speed, especially if it's a front tire, just don't slam on the brakes, but slow the car down and be prepared to hold that steering wheel.
Okay, I like that.
And then lastly, safety protection. When you stop alongside the highway, it is tricky, and there's no one safe way to do things. But just make sure that if you absolutely have to have your back alongside the highway when you're changing your tire, you should be extremely careful. Make sure that traffic can see you. Either put a cone out or flare, and just keep your eyes peeled because it is a very, very dangerous situation. And I do know somebody who got hit while changing a tire, and it did not end well for him.
I like the safety discussions we're having for this show, and the listeners who may be listening with rapt attention, I hope. Rarely do you have a cone in your car. At least I don't have any cones in any of my cars that I know of. I have not had safety flares in them. They would be a good safety package to have in a vehicle. First of all, you don't want to have a flat tire at all. You also need to be sure if you're on a main highway. This woman was on a well-traveled two-lane town road when the alarm, Jeep has a very good alarm system apparently. There was some kind of noise. She looked at the dash. She saw the four tires. She saw that the one tire was losing air very quickly. It was down to 20, I believe, when she saw the corner. Not all cars have four-corner tire monitors. My Hyundai does not. I've had a slow leak in one of my tires, and when it gets down to 20, a big orange tire light shows up in the center of the car, but you don't know which tire it is. It's low on pressure. But back to the safety situation, she happened to pull off this main two-lane arterial onto a side town road, which was not trafficked as heavily, and it was during school bus hour, and people were going a lot. But she did not have her emergency flashers on when I arrived at the scene. And then one of the first things I said is, please put your emergency flashers on, because that also is a very visual cue that if you're stopped on the side of the road, those signals can catch a driver's eye much more quickly than somebody possibly bending down on the street side, on the travel lane side of a car, trying to fuss around with a tire. Because nobody has the right clothing on these days, walking or biking or when they get out of a car, that proper clothing would be bright neon vest or something like that. And, boy, when you're on a highway like 684, Jay, you know what's going on at 75 miles an hour. And there have been numerous news stories of safety people, police as well as maybe others, being hit, like your knowledge of somebody who got hit and injured or maybe more so than when they were trying to do a tire change. Changing a tire is not something you want to encounter in your lifetime ownership of a vehicle. And very many...
It always happens at a bad time.
Jay, your comment about, the tutorials are available and the AAA is very knowledgeable, but as I shot back at you, it's too late about knowing a tutorial when you never changed a tire in 40 years. I had to start from scratch to see what equipment was going to be in this particular vehicle that I came to assist.
Is Mike trying to say something here?
Yes.
Go for it.
No, I haven't been. That's okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm just mesmerized by this.
Well, it is something, should anybody practice this when they get a car? Probably it'll never happen.
I know people who've only given cars to their kids after making sure that they could change their tires. That was like, not getting keys to the car.
That'd be a very good instruction to give to anybody who is becoming a new driver. But if the person who's providing the car has never done it themselves, he or she is not going to know
you go
how
back
to really
to
teach a kid to do it.
You go back to YouTube. Actually, I'm being half serious about this. I mean, it is a tool like everything else. I mean, while you were talking, I just did a quick search on YouTube, and sure enough, there are a gazillion videos on how to change
I understand the YouTube experience. I don't know how many people would want to have a phone sitting beside them underneath a car, half under a car, trying to reach down to locate a jack situation and try to have a YouTube instructional video going.
Well, not everybody has a handyman such as yourself on call on retainer to come
and help
them out.
And AAA is a solution.
It is.
And if you don't have a spare tire, you need AAA anyways. And if you have an inflatable spare situation. You should know how to use that before you have to use it. That would be as good a tutorial to do yourself, aside from teaching somebody how to change a tire with all the equipment ready, starting with the spare tire, evidence of a spare tire and a jack handle and jack equipment.
There's also the can of goo that auto repair shops absolutely hate.
Yeah.
But if you have a slow leak, they do help, and having a can of Fix-A-Flat in the car is an extra precaution.
Yes. And to that end, the interesting thing about this particular tire situation is it is not brand new, but it has probably more than half its life left. I could not find any evidence, and I didn't look really thoroughly. I will be taking the tire to the tire dealer that installed it and ask them what might have caused it, because this woman heard the hissing of the noise of the tire deflating when she got out of the car. I looked at the tire. I rotated it 360 degrees on the ground, and there was no evidence of a nail anywhere in the tread area of the tire. And I did not check the sidewalls on both sides, but something serious went wrong as she was trying to go to work this morning. And it went down very quickly, but she was able to maneuver off of the main road she was on to a side road without possibly damaging the tire. That will remain to be seen when we take it to a tire dealer to see what the tire situation is for its replacement or repair.
All right, moving on.
Okay, Jay, you're in Europe, I think, when this show is done. And have you checked out the current situation with EVs and models and
no,
that?
I just got here, and I've only driven like 5 miles this morning. So,
okay, well, we don't know when this
don't have much to report at this point.
Okay.
That's specific to Europe anyway. But I did see, Robin, have you put in a job application with Stellantis? Because they are, I guess, John
Elkann.
They're
in big trouble. Stellantis is really disappointing me because, of course, I'm a major fan of Jeep vehicles. But the headline on one of my automotive weeklies is Stellantis is under fire. Dealers, UAW, and everybody's mad at Tavares. Because
yes.
He is and really apparently ruining the company, if you want to really look at this article, and that's what the implication is.
I don't think it's quite fair. I think the problems were there before he got. I think that Stellantis and the whole Fiat and Jeep divisions of it, because remember, Carlos Tavares comes from the Peugeot side.
Correct.
I think when Peugeot led by Carlos Tavares made the acquisition of Fiat and Jeep, because it was Peugeot buying out. It was not a marriage of equals.
I understand.
I think he got into more trouble than he anticipated, and now fingers are being pointed, and he's the guy in charge, so he's probably going to go. And John Elkann, who's the chairman of the board of Stellantis, is looking for his replacement. But I don't believe he's gotten fired.
They're causing a ruckus this morning on the markets because they cut their profit forecast, and it's causing problems with other automobile company stocks as things are falling apart as we speak.
It's a good time to buy some.
As we speak.
But
or dump them.
Yeah, well, to Jay's comment, I'll read a quote in what I'm looking at right now. Dealers say reckless short-term decision-making to secure record profits in 2023 has left them, the dealers, anemic and diminished, piling up inventory as U.S. market share plummets, and it goes on. I'm upset with them for another reason, because they took out of their line of cars one of what I think is the most a very popular model, which I happen to own three of, and that's the Jeep Cherokee, which I just referenced in this tire-changing episode that I took on this morning that this show was taped. And they've replaced it, but there's this new car I brought up in another show recently, the Dodge Hornet. And it's basically, I think it's built in Italy.
Jay, yeah, it's a Fiat.
It's a Fiat. And I do not know what its role is supposed to be in Stellantis' market in the Dodge division, because there's not much in the Dodge division to talk about. But this car is one of the least attractive vehicles, new vehicles I've seen designed. I've looked it up. Inside, it had a fairly nice interior. I will give it credit for good seats. It's got all the electronic equipment. It's in the 20s to start out. It can go up to the 40s. It's all-wheel drive. It's also plug-in electric, hybrid, or just gas. And it's got two different engines. But it's just unattractive, especially in light chocolate brown. And I don't know who in these people are in the car design industry and marketing industry. I am appalled at how poor these so-called experts that are hired to design vehicles, set up paint colors and all that, and can come out with a vehicle as unattractive as the Dodge Hornet is. And I know that I read an article where they are piling up unsold in dealers' lots for the dealers who have had deliveries of these cars show up at their dealerships, whether they ordered them or not. So that's another problem for Stellantis and Mr. Tavares. So we'll see where it goes, Jay, because you've been following the Stellantis thing, and I'm interested that has caught your attention.
Well,
because it is so obvious that there are mistakes being made in that particular manufacturer.
And gentlemen, I hate to say this, but we are reaching the end of the program.
Isn't that
wow.
Whole program about tire changing and
that's
Stellantis.
This will be the greatest tire changing episode ever known to man.
Well, I hope it's rerun many times.
Yes.
Thank you, gentlemen. Well, everybody else is YouTube.
Yeah, there. Go to YouTube.
Any quick safety bits, Jay? Or are we out, Mike?
We already talked about them.
There was all safety this morning. So
it was all safety about
that
tire
being
change.
Said, you've been listening to Car Keys.
And until next time, we are Jay DeMarc and Robin Leach and Mike.
All right. Good day. Car Keys with Robin Leach and Jay DeMarkin is produced at the facilities of WHDD 91.9 FM, RobinHoodRadio.com, Sharon, Connecticut.